Yes, as we continue working our way through the life of David, we're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 21, the entire chapter, all 15 verses of it, which sounds like very little after last week. You may remember that God has rejected Saul as king over Israel because of his disobedience. He has chosen David to be the next king, and David has been anointed, but he has not yet been coronated. He's not begun his reign. Because of David's growing popularity with the people, Saul becomes extremely jealous, and he tries to kill David. Eventually, Saul's son, Jonathan, he warned David that his father, Saul, was indeed wanting to kill David and would not stop. And so David becomes a fugitive from Saul for many years. And today I want us to talk about David as a fugitive. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through our scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 15. If you need to sit down or need to stay seated, that is perfectly fine. David went to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he met him and asked, "Why are you alone? Why is no one with you?" David answered Ahimelech the priest and said, "The king sent me on a mission and said to me, 'No one is to know anything about the mission I am sending you on. As for my men, I have told them to meet me at a certain place.' Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever you can find." But the priest answered David, "I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women." David replied, "Indeed, women have been kept from us as usual whenever I set out. The men's bodies are holy, even on missions that are not holy. How much more so today?" So the priest gave him the consecrated bread, since there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed from before the Lord and replaced by hot bread on the day it was taken away. Now one of Saul's servants was there that day, detained before the Lord. He was Doeg the Edomite, Saul's chief shepherd. David asked Ahimelech, "Don't you have a spear or a sword here?" "I haven't brought my sword or any other weapon because the king's mission was urgent." The priest replied, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is here. It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want it, take it. There is no sword here but that one." David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." That day David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish, king of Gath, said to him, "Isn't this David, the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Achish said to his servant, "Look at the man. He is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house?" Thank you. May all be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. Charles Jenkins. Anybody ever hear of Charles Jenkins? Well, he had been a good soldier for 9 years. He had a good conduct award. He had been promoted all the way to sergeant. But on January 5th, 1965, after 10 days of planning and 10 beers, he tied a white t-shirt to the end of his rifle and he defected to North Korea. He disappeared into that dark country for nearly 40 years until 2004, when he was finally able to leave North Korea to seek medical treatment in Japan. Shortly after he returned, he turned himself in to the U.S. military authorities. At his court-martial, the frail, tearful 64-year-old soldier, he pleaded guilty to desertion. He told the judge, "Ma'am, I am in fact guilty." But why did he walk away from his unit and from his country? Well, he said he had fled because he was afraid that he would be transferred to some dangerous daytime patrols there in the demilitarized zone, or maybe even worse, sent to Vietnam. Jenkins wept as he described his depression, his fears of death, and the heavy drinking that led up to his desertion. He thought he would simply be returned home, but instead he suffered under very harsh conditions for his life. I knew 100% what I was doing, but I did not know the consequences, Jenkins said. It was 20 years before anyone in America even knew that he was alive. Now, King David, he had been a good soldier for a number of years. He was the only one in Israel who was willing to go out and to fight against Goliath, the Philistine. And David prevailed over Goliath with simply a sling and some stones. And he struck Goliath and he killed him. And then David cut off Goliath's head with Goliath's own sword. A little bit later on, David had these numerous successful campaigns against the Philistines, prompting the women of Israel to sing, "Saul has struck down his thousands and David his tens of thousands." And that ditty, that song, those lyrics, it provoked Saul's jealousy. And Saul's jealousy, it escalated to the point that he tried to kill David on a number of occasions. And so David, he becomes a fugitive from Saul, and he becomes gripped with fear. 1 Samuel chapter 21, it shows us the foolishness of a believer when that believer is gripped by fear. The very first thing we get in our scripture is David runs and he flees to Ahimelech, who is the priest there at Nob. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 20, it tells us from last week about Jonathan going and warning David that Jonathan's father Saul really does want to kill David. And after a tearful farewell, David left Jonathan in Gibeah. And then David comes to Nob, to Ahimelech, who is the priest. Nob is only about 2 miles south of Saul and Jonathan's home there in Gibeah. Well, it's not exactly clear why David went to visit Ahimelech the priest at Nob. Perhaps he went there to try to get some help from the priest, or maybe he was trying to seek some help from the Lord. But nevertheless, there are 3 things that happened while David is there visiting Ahimelech and Nob. The very first thing that happens is David tells a falsehood. When David arrived at Nob, Ahimelech came out to meet David, and he's trembling, he's shaking. Now, the reason Ahimelech is trembling is perhaps because this news of Saul's desire to kill David, it has spread across the land, and the people of Israel, they do not want to give refuge to a fugitive, someone who is on the run from the king. And so Ahimelech, he says to David, "Why are you alone? Why is there no one with you?" You see, a man of David's position and a man of David's stature, he would not travel alone. And so Ahimelech, he's immediately suspicious, and therefore he asks the questions. And perhaps it was Ahimelech's questions that unnerved David. Certainly, Ahimelech's trembling and shaking helped David to know that he's not getting the warmest welcome available. And so David panics just a little bit. Now, in the previous chapter, David told Jonathan to lie on his behalf regarding his whereabouts. And now David resorts to another falsehood. Because David answers Ahimelech and he says, "The king has sent me on a mission. And he said to me, 'No one is to know anything about the mission I am sending you on. As for my men, I have told them to meet me at a certain place.'" You see, David, he claims that he is on a secret mission from King Saul. With his men, they're hidden away just waiting for him. And that was a blatant falsehood. It was a lie. It was nothing more than a bunch of deception. You see, there's a lesson for us here. Never tell a falsehood. A.W. Pink writes and says, "Though ingenious, falsehoods may seem to promote present security, yet they ensure future disgrace." And the Bible is full of examples of men and women whose lies may seem to have promoted present securities, but they actually ensured future disgrace. Think of Jacob for a moment and his deception with his lie to get his brother's birthright. See, that resulted in Esau eventually wanting to kill Jacob, so that Jacob actually had to flee his homeland for more than 20 years. Now, you may find that you need to, or feel like that you need to tell a falsehood. You know, you don't tell your spouse exactly where you have been. Maybe you're not clear with your supervisor about how your work project is going. You don't tell your elders or your spiritual leaders that you're just struggling. Let me assure you that you may think that these falsehoods are promoting this present security, but in fact, it will ensure future disgrace. And David is an illustration of such a future disgrace. Now, the second thing that happened while David is there visiting is that he asked for a favor. Actually, David asked for two different favors. First, David asked Ahimelech for some bread. Presumably, David had fled from Gibeah with nothing but the shirt on his back, and so he needed some food. And so he says, "Do you have anything on hand? Do you have any bread here? Give me 5 loaves or whatever else you have." And Ahimelech goes on to explain that he doesn't have any common bread. He only had holy bread. That the only bread that was on hand was the bread of the presence, which was set out each Sabbath day, and it was replaced the following week with new bread, with fresh bread. The older bread, it was given to the priest for them to eat throughout the week. It was part of the ceremonial law of God regarding worship. Ahimelech said that he would give the bread to David, but only if the men had kept themselves from women. And David said that they had, which was another falsehood. There were no other men but David. It was just him. But Ahimelech gave him the bread anyway. The lesson for us is this: God's law is fulfilled by acts of mercy. There are some Bible commentators who say that mercy supersedes obedience to the law, but that's not 100% correct. And Jesus once made a point about this in the Sabbath day by referring to a story. You see, the Pharisees, they had accused Jesus and his disciples of breaking the Sabbath law because they were picking and they were eating pieces of grain as they were walking through the fields. And Jesus said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for them to eat, nor for those who were with him, his men, but only for the priests." See, Jesus' point is not that mercy supersedes the obedience to the law, but rather Jesus' point is that the intent of God's law is fulfilled by acts of mercy. See, Jesus' reference to this story, it helps us to understand how to remember the Sabbath day and how to keep it holy. Jesus, he warns us against these excessive rules that make the Lord's day a burden. For instance, it does not violate, but it actually fulfills the Sabbath, to gather together for Christian fellowship, for joyful worship together, to provide meals to shut-ins, or maybe, just maybe, on a very hot Sunday after we've had a time of worship, going out and distributing water. And then David asks Ahimelech for a second favor, and that was for a weapon. David asked Ahimelech, "Don't you have a spear or a sword here? I haven't brought any weapons with me because the king's mission, it was urgent." Well, here is another one of David's falsehoods. The reason that David doesn't have a weapon is not because the king's mission, the king's business, but rather simply because David was in such a hasty flight and he left without gathering anything. And the priest replies and says, "The only thing here is the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah. It's here, it's wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want it, take it." David says, there's no other sword like it. Give it to me. Do you remember a couple months ago when David went out to fight against Goliath? And he refused to put on all of Saul's armor? Well, at that time, David's trust, it was in the Lord. And he simply went into battle with his sling and his five smooth stones. But now David's fear of Saul, it has overtaken his faith in the Lord. And so now he is resorting to using weapons of the world. Here's a lesson for us. Never let fear make us abandon God's methods. Goliath's sword, it had not done Goliath any good at all. Matter of fact, David used Goliath's own sword to cut off his head. When we face difficulties or trials or these uncertainties, let us not abandon God's methods. For example, there are many people, and they want entertaining worship services. They want pragmatic programs. They want everything completely worked out. And there are pastors and elders who fear lack of these programs and lack of this entertaining worship. However, God's methods of growth are through the simple means of grace, of prayer, and of ministry to the Word. But there's a third thing that happened while David was visiting Nob, visiting Ahimelech. It's in verse 7. And verse 7 seems a little bit out of place in this story. It says, now one of Saul's servants was there that day, detained before the Lord. He was Doeg, the Edomite, Saul's chief shepherd. And that's all that's said about Doeg here in this narrative. However, in the next chapter, we learn that Doeg, he goes and he tells Saul what happened there in Nob. And a result of that was that Ahimelech, his family, all of the other priests, and even all of the cattle, they were all killed. At least 85 people were killed. You see, what seemed insignificant actually turned out to be disastrous for others. In fact, David later on even says that he knew that Doeg would tell Saul about his presence at Nob, but he did nothing to intervene. Here's a lesson for us. Fear, it may paralyze us. We get ourselves into difficulty and we become afraid. But rather than to correct our error, we do nothing because we have become paralyzed. And such paralysis, such inaction, it may actually hurt other people really badly. And then from Nob, David takes off and he flees to Achish, who is there in Gath. There are two things that happen when David flees to Achish. The very first thing is that David becomes afraid. And it's really puzzling, kind of intriguing, why David would even flee to Achish, who is the king of Gath. Think about it, if you would. First of all, Gath, it was Goliath's hometown. Goliath had been their champion. Moreover, Gath, it was Philistine territory. David had killed tens of thousands of Philistine soldiers. And so David is going into enemy territory, knowing that he had killed their champion, that he had killed tens of thousands of men, and that all of those widows, those wives, those mothers, those women, they would not welcome him. In addition to that, he goes into Gath and he's carrying Goliath's sword. Now, it may have been that David went there and he's hoping that somehow he would find some favor with Achish. But the servants of Achish, they say to the king there, to King Achish, isn't this David the king of the land? Isn't he the one that they sing about in their dances? Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. You see, at this point, David realizes that he has made a very huge mistake. And he's terribly afraid. He has gone, if you will, from the frying pan into the fire. Here's a lesson to us. Believers, we make mistakes. We make mistakes that may cause us to be afraid. And sometimes we make really big mistakes things that even cause us to sin in the process. And we become so much afraid, just like David was. And that is why God provides pastors, he provides elders, provides spiritual mentors, people around you who can help guide you and direct you, people who can come alongside you and pray with you to help support you in a time of need. But there's a second thing that happened while David was there visiting King Achish. And that is that he feigned insanity. He pretended that he was insane. Knowing that he's not getting a friendly welcome while he's there, David changes his behavior before these people, and he pretends that he's insane. He makes these marks on the gates, on the doors. He lets drool or spittle run down through his beard. David, just think about it. He had stood there boldly before Goliath, and now he's acting like a scared madman before them. And Achish goes and he says to his servants, "Look at the man. He is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on in front of me? Must this man come into my house?" Apparently, as we will learn next time, this ruse, this playing along, it actually worked, because David is dismissed and he manages to get away from King Achish. Here's a lesson for us. Any believer can fall, and can fall far and fast. Not long before this, David is faithfully serving Saul. He's one of Saul's most faithful and best servants. And now he's acting like a slobbering idiot in Goliath's hometown. That is why we should always consider both God's grace and our duty. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, it warns all believers and says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." You see, as we look at the life of David as he's a fugitive from King Saul, as it's put forth in this scripture here, we should learn to trust the Lord in all circumstances. As I mentioned, David, he's able to get away from Achish, and he escapes then to the cave of Adullam. And over the course of time, he writes and reflects about that period in his life. He wrote as many as 8 different psalms during his time as a fugitive from King Saul. The title of Psalm 56 says that this is a psalm about when the Philistines seized him in Gath. And he mentions that his attackers oppress him, they trample on him. And then he affirms in verses 3 and 4, he says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" And the answer to that question is nothing. At least nothing ultimately. Now, frankly, David's visit to Ahimelech and then his flight there to King Achish, they were not one of David's finest hours. That is why we are thankful that David's greater son, Jesus Christ, he was unlike David when he faced these persecutors, and he even faced death. See, Jesus, he did not go and speak falsehoods. He did not flee in fear. He faced what it was that was set before him. Jesus went to the cross, and he suffered the pain and the torture so that we would not have to. Because of Jesus, we can say the words just like David, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" In just a few moments, we are going to take communion. And as the worship team comes up and leads us in a song, I want you to reflect on that. Reflect on Jesus and what it is he's done for us, because that's what communion is about. Jesus faced the fear. Jesus faced what was before him. And if there is anything that we have going on, any fear that we have, we can face them too because of Jesus.